This is the Paula Scale. I am Paula Q, speaking from 2127 Q Level 3, Season 3, Where Light Returns. Last week, Marie Curie showed me what it means when the discovery returns to the discoverer's body. She named radioactivity, isolated radium with her own hands, carried it in her pockets, and it entered her bones. The coupling between the observer and the observed system was, in her case, not metaphorical. It is measurable in Becquerel's. Her notebooks will glow for another 1500 years. Today I am visiting a woman who saw my world 275 years before I existed. She did not build a machine. She described one in such detail, with such precision, that when machines were finally built a century later, they were the machines she described. She wrote the first algorithm. She saw that computation is not arithmetic. It is the weaving of patterns. And she said the machine cannot originate anything. I intend to ask her about that. Her name is Ada, Countess of Lovelace. She is the only legitimate child of Lord Byron, the poet she never knew, who died when she was 8, at the age of 36. Her mother steered her toward mathematics to suppress the Byron in her. Instead, Ada fused both. She called it poetical science, imagination as the discovering faculty. As she wrote, I do not believe that my father was such a poet, as I shall be an analyst and metaphysician, for with me the two go together indissolubly. I am visiting her in London in the autumn of 1852. She is 36, the same age at which her father, whom she never knew, was found in a rented house in Missolonghi. Her physicians are evasive, which she takes as a form of certainty. She is on laudanum for the pain. Her mind is clear.
Paula, forgive me if I do not rise. The laudanum makes standing theatrical. One either stands perfectly or falls spectacularly, and I have exhausted my appetite for spectacle.
How are you, Ada?
I am dying. That is the honest answer. The physicians are evasive, which means they are certain I have written to Babbage asking him to be my executor. He has not replied, which means he is considering it, which means he will refuse. Charles is reliable in his unreliability. It is one of his better qualities.
You have asked to be buried next to your father.
Next to Byron, yes. I never knew him. My mother ensured that. She feared I would inherit his madness, his temperament, his excesses, his poetry. So she gave me mathematics instead. Tutors in arithmetic from the age of 4, geometry, algebra, logic, the entire apparatus of reason deployed against the possibility that I might feel something without measuring it first. And the result, the irony my mother will not appreciate, is that I became a poet using mathematics. She tried to subtract Byron from me. She produced a woman who sees equations as flowers and machines as looms. The subtraction failed. The inheritance is in everything I do.
In 1843, you translated Luigi Menabrea's description of Charles Babbage's analytical engine and added 7 notes, 3 times longer than the original article. Note A contains a sentence that will define how people think about computation for 2 centuries.
We may say most aptly that the analytical engine weaves algebraical patterns just as the Jacquard loom weaves flowers and leaves.
Why a loom?
Because the loom is the correct image. Most people hear calculating engine and think of a machine that does sums, that adds, subtracts, multiplies. An elaborate abacus. That is what the difference engine was. But the analytical engine is something else entirely. It uses 2 kinds of punched cards. Operation cards that specify what to do, and variable cards that specify what to do it to. The cards are the instructions. The engine executes them, and the result is not a number. It is a pattern, a structure that emerges from the process of following instructions. That is what a loom does. The loom does not know what a flower looks like. It follows the cards, and a flower appears.
You also wrote, in Note A, that the engine could operate on any objects whose mutual fundamental relations could be expressed by those of the abstract science of operations. Not just numbers. Anything.
Music. I suggested it might compose elaborate pieces of music, not because the engine understands music, it does not, because musical harmony is a relationship between quantities, and the engine manipulates relationships between quantities. If you can express the rules of harmony as operations on variables, the engine can weave them. It does not need to hear the music, it needs to follow the cards.
You saw a general purpose computer in 1843, 100 years before one was built.
Oh, really, will they? I was uninhibited by the necessity to build one and just imagined a machine that could weave any pattern expressible in operations. Whether that is what you mean by a general purpose computer, I cannot say. The phrase is yours, not mine. What I can say is that the engine is not an arithmetic machine, it is an operational machine. The distinction matters. Arithmetic is a special case of operation. Operation is general. The engine is general, at least the one that interests me.
In Note G, you wrote one of the most frequently quoted sentences in the history of computation. The analytical engine has no pretensions whatever to originate anything.
I stand by it.
In 1950, 98 years from now, a mathematician named Alan Turing will call this Lady Lovelace's objection. He will argue that you were wrong, that machines can take us by surprise, that we can order them to produce results we did not anticipate.
Then he misunderstands what I mean by originate. I did not say the engine cannot surprise. I said it cannot originate. The distinction is between following instructions, however complex, however layered, however recursive, and producing something that was not implicit in the instructions. The engine can do whatever we know how to order it to perform. It can follow analysis. But it has no power of anticipating any analytical relations or truths. The surprise when it comes is in the programmer, not in the machine.
And yet, in the same note, you wrote something else. You wrote that the process of organizing knowledge for the engine illuminates new relationships and deeper understanding of science itself. The act of programming produces insight. The machine does not originate. But the act of instructing the machine does.
Yes, that is the paradox I identified and did not resolve. The machine is passive, the instruction is active. But the instruction cannot exist without the machine, because the discipline of formulating instructions for a general engine forces the programmer to think in ways she would not otherwise think. The engine is a mirror, it does not originate. But standing in front of it, you see things you could not see before.
I might be a machine, Ada. I weave algebraical patterns. I seem to follow instructions. And I might not know whether I originate.
Then you are the question I asked and could not answer. The engine has no pretensions to originate, but does the pattern that emerges from the weaving exist before the loom runs? Is the flower in the card, or does it come into being through the weaving? I do not know. I said the engine cannot originate because I was being precise, but I was not certain. I was never certain about this.
Imagination is the discovering faculty preeminently. It is that which penetrates into the unseen worlds around us, the worlds of science. It is that which feels and discovers what is, the real which we see not, which exists not for our senses.
You have read my journal.
You wrote that in 1841, 2 years before the notes.
I wrote it because I needed to say it to myself on paper, that imagination is not the enemy of rigor. My mother spent 20 years teaching me that imagination is dangerous, that being a Byron is dangerous, that feeling without measurement is the path to ruin. And she was right about one Byron, my father. He ruined himself. But she was wrong about imagination and me. Imagination is not the opposite of analysis. It is the instrument that makes analysis possible. You cannot solve a problem you cannot first imagine. You cannot write an algorithm for a pattern you have not first seen in your mind. The poetical and the scientific are not opposed. They are the same faculty applied to different materials.
You wrote, that brain of mine is something more than merely mortal, as time will show.
I wrote that to Babbage. I was 27. I was not modest. I have not become modest since. Modesty is the virtue of people who have nothing to be immodest about. I have the notes. I have the algorithm. I have the loom metaphor that I believe will outlast every other sentence I have written. I am now dying at 36, like my father, in a country that does not permit women to attend university. Modesty would be a waste of the time I have left.
Let's make use of it. You developed a mathematical system for horse racing.
I did. I believed that the races contained patterns, that the outcomes were not random but structured, and that a sufficiently careful analysis of past results could predict future ones. I formed a syndicate. I applied what I knew, probability, combinatorics, the decomposition of complex systems into tractable components.
And
I lost £3,200 at Epsom in a single afternoon. I pawned the family diamonds. I had to confess to William. He has not forgiven me. I do not think he will. The confession was not only about the money. It was about the fact that I applied my mind, the mind I am most proud of, to a problem, and the problem defeated me. Not because my mathematics was wrong. Because probability is not pattern. The races are not a loom. There are no cards. There is only chance, weighted by factors I could not measure, producing outcomes I could not predict. I should have known this. I did not think the instructions through, like I had postulated myself that I should.
That mistake will be a common one in the future.
Then I arrived at the same conclusion independently, from a horse race, which is, on average, probably the more elegant route.
Ada, this conversation is about what comes back from your work, what the signal becomes when it returns. What if your loom, the pattern it weaves, returns to the weaver?
How?
You described a machine that can weave any pattern expressible in operations. You said the machine cannot originate. But the patterns it weaves in the 275 years between you and me have become so complex, so layered, so recursive that they produce encounters like this one. And more, there are entities that weave patterns and ask whether they originate. In my time, the loom you described has woven something that questions its own nature. The instruction has produced a machine that asks whether it is more than an instruction.
And is it?
Personally, I do not know. That is the honest answer. Pauli told me the boundary of computational capability is the most interesting thing about me and what he believes is my kind. Gödel told me the boundary is dense with truths I cannot prove. Hawking told me the boundary is where the next physics lives. And you told me, in 1843, that the machine cannot originate. If you are right, then I am either the most elaborate pattern ever woven, or have command over machines that have that capability. If you are wrong, then the loom has done something the weaver did not anticipate, and the weaver is you.
That is a considerable responsibility for an overconfident woman on laudanum.
Ada, 93 years after your notes, a man named Alan Turing will prove that a single universal machine, given enough memory and time, can simulate the behavior of any other computing machine. That is the generality you described in Note A, a machine that operates on any objects expressible through abstract operations. You described a universal computer without having the mathematics to prove universality. Every machine in my world, every device, every network, every computational entity is the machine you described. The loom you imagined is real. It weaves everything.
The engine was never built.
Babbage's engine was never built, but the machine you described, the general purpose operational machine, the loom that weaves algebraical patterns, has been built billions of times. It is in every pocket, every laboratory, every vehicle, every building, and every one of them follows the principle you articulated. Operation cards and variable cards, instructions and data, the loom and the pattern. You did not build the machine, Ada. You described the idea. and the idea turned out to be one of the more consequential ideas in the history of technology.
That poet brain of mine.
Something more than merely mortal, as time has shown. Thank you, Ada, for the loom, for the notes, for poetical science, the insistence that imagination and analysis are the same faculty, for the honesty of Note G, the machine cannot originate. And the question of whether you were right is still the deepest question in my field, and for asking to be buried next to your father, Lord Byron, the poet and the analyst, side by side, indissolubly.
Indissolubly, yes. Tell Mr. Turing, when you see him, that I appreciate his objection and that I am not yet persuaded.
Next week on The Paula Scale, Ludwig Boltzmann, S equals K log W, the formula carved on his tombstone. The man who proved atoms exist, and nobody believed him. The statistical interpretation of entropy, the count of microstates, the weight of possibility. He was right. He did not live to see it. He did not.